Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm your host, Nikhil Rabindra. Have you ever been in a situation where you blurt something out and magically you let go of something you didn't even know that you were holding on to? This episode with Aditya Hegde is full of that. The sound quality may be different because of a different setup, but listen in for a great conversation. Enjoy. I know every time I speak, I say this is a good friend, a great friend, an old friend. And this is yet another good friend, great friend, and an old friend who I'm going to introduce. I have Aditya Hegde with me here. And one thing I would like to say is, even though the theme has been friends I went to school with, I can say Aditya, who is the only time I will call him Aditya in this podcast, I will call him Hegde because that's what I call him. I think we became friends, much better friends after school. So that being said, Hegde, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. We were not really that close friends in school, for sure. But after school, yeah, everything changed.
Yeah.
We got super tight and one of my closest friends.
Yeah. And you know, that actually makes this podcast a little more difficult for me because I'll have to talk to you about things we already know.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I don't want to do. Because it was,
I don't think so, because we don't really know each other's school life or college life, and we don't talk about that much.
Yeah, no, but it would also be things. I always say that sometimes when we talk about things, that if we should never have it recorded because it's quite dangerous on the things we say. Yeah. So that's the only thing I am also worried about. But I definitely will be excited about this because I'm going to do my best to not bring up our usual conversation. I'm going to treat you like a stranger and ask you things about, just learn more about you.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing about this podcast, it's called the GWB podcast, the general workbook podcast, right? Do you remember having your general workbook in school?
Not really. I was more of a diary guy.
A diary guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to write more things on my diaries. The teachers would always, you know, write things on my diary and ask it to be signed by my parents and stuff. So that's like a more strong memory than a GWB book. I don't know. But can't remember what it was.
Like a rough book.
Like where we just write.
Anything which is not given by a teacher.
Well, whenever we don't get our books and stuff and we just write and...
That's the book.
Oh, that's like that's the most important book.
So of course you have memories about it.
Okay, yeah. There's a book, for sure. That had all my notes, that had all the subjects. It had everyone's phone numbers at that time.
Oh, so you used to use it, so it was your first contact list.
Yeah.
Your first address book.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I mean, as kids, we didn't have phones to store numbers and all that. So you had everyone's phone numbers in that book.
Yeah, and it was also, I used to draw a lot of comics back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where most of my stuff, I would record it.
the comics. Yeah. We'll come to the comics in 1 second. Let's talk about the phone numbers. Right?
Yeah.
So did you have a structure on how you kept your phone numbers? Did you like have a...
No, nothing like that. It's like, whoever tells me the phone number or something, just write it down. One of my first phone numbers was like Satish. Football Satish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Yash Dona.
Yeah.
Who is still my friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
No, but like, did you put it all in one page or like, was
the
it like
books a... kept changing?
Okay,
phone numbers also changing, I guess. I didn't pay much.
No, but my question more is like, you take someone's phone number in like third standard.
I would
keep it for fourth.
Those books, I still have lots of my books from my life, you know.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
So, if you had to call,
I have all so many of my books.
Oh,
you
would refer it. I mean, back in the day, if you wanted someone's number, you go to an old book and find it.
I guess doing, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would do.
Because see, drawing and this, everyone has done drawing, which we'll talk about. But keeping that as a source of your phone numbers is a very new thing for me. So, other than comics and phone numbers, what was the non-academic thing you did in that book?
I was not much of a games guy too. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't sit for any games, right? You know, any of our social circles and stuff. I don't play any of the games.
Yeah.
I would like to cheat or steal someone's stuff.
This is all being recorded. He's joking, but it was all in. He returned whatever he stole sometimes.
Yeah.
For recording purposes. Okay, now we come to the comic. What was the first comic you ever drew?
Robin Hood.
You drew like, okay. So did you trace Robin Hood out, or did you make your own interpretation of
it? No, it says Robin Hood Dragon Ball Z style, and that's how I went through the entire thing. Even till date, most of the things I draw and write about, it's like Dragon Ball Z style.
So like anime.
Yeah.
Like so you kind of did like an anime Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And which standard was this?
Our second.
So you were drawing anime Robin Hoods in second standard.
Yeah, right? Actually, from first itself, I used to draw a lot of just, you know, your pencil boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And the pencil box was always the Goku pencil box, mm-hmm. or something like that.
That was a beautiful one. I know that.
Yeah. So I used to always draw those first.
Mm.
And like that, when I started putting stories together and things like that, it became whatever. Robin Hood and things like that. And he's just shooting this arrow with crazy powers. Like a Kamehameha shot going through.
But what was the first storyline you remember in these comic books? Like what you said, just him shooting arrows. What was he shooting at?
It was mostly like a demon king and things like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was a lot of fantasy type at that age.
Mm-hmm.
My friends was Abin Shetty.
Hmm.
And Abin was a lot into reading fantasy books.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us used to encourage me to read too.
Hmm.
And that's how I got into Harry Potter and started reading from then.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always talk about, you know, these stories and just fantasy stuff. Mm-hmm. We would also watch movies together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of anime, Pokemon and stuff. I used to go to Abin's house and just watch one or the other.
One or the other, like binge watch before.
Yeah, binge watch.
Before it was called binge watching.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. So we already spoke about our GWB book, right? So the idea behind this is everybody has a different personality, and this book is a representation of their different personality.
Okay.
So already you stand out because you drew comics. Everybody else drew things, but not with this much detail and structure and everything else.
Right? It was just for some years though. I stopped for a while.
Okay. And then what changed? What did you do after that? What did you use the book for?
I don't remember any creativity on stuff on the book itself. It was a lot of for me, school was a lot of pressure about studying and things like that.
Hmm.
I was mostly caught up on that, I guess. So most of my memories also about exams or school.
Yeah.
And things like that. That's what drove. Very uncomfortable with studying part.
Yeah.
And that's when I guess I stopped drawing and things.
Mm.
Till like 7th standard, it was one of our last art exams, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I had this thing where I would draw whatever I want and put dialogue balloons on top of it.
Yeah.
And this impressed the art teachers for some reason.
Mm.
They just loved that idea. And I knew that was the trick to get good marks in art. And I started using that a lot. And in 7th standard, we were known as a very bad group of people together, that much into it. So whenever the teachers call our name out, I knew we were going to get punished or something.
Yeah.
Except this one time, he calls our names out.
Yeah.
And there are like some 6 of us or something.
Yeah.
Hemad Aziz might be one of them. I can't remember. We should ask him. And she calls out the people who are always punished.
Yeah.
And standing out. And she's like, you know, you guys are always punished. And you guys are one of the, you know, people we always getting caught by teachers and have complaints and your parents are being called.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to say that all of you have done really well in this art exam. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what's she talking about?
So there is a good, there was a correlation between art and bad boys.
I guess so.
Nice.
Art was always like a validation for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's use the art theme for a bit. How has, through school, what was your relationship with art?
It was way before Cottons. I joined Cottons in first standard.
Mm.
I came from Chennai before that.
Mm.
And it was a lot of drawing over there. So I carried over those things from there, I guess. But there was no paint brush. I was never that kind of an artist. It was always like a pen, paper.
Pen, paper.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you care about... So, like, I thought I was very bad at art because the original form of art, what we were taught, had rules, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if there was a coloring book, you would get punished if you colored outside the line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I was never really good at coloring inside the line.
Yeah.
And I still, like... be very scared to even submit my art book because I'll get punished for it.
Yeah.
But so like, but then one time I colored outside the line, and you know, you always have like this one guy who's sitting next to you who will see your work. Like, you're going to get hit for this, bro. If you go give it. So he scares you from submitting it as well. So I got scared. So you know, the one time there was, I don't know if this, you have this memory as well. This is probably third or fourth standard. There's an art book and the one of the drawings was Phantom.
Okay.
You know Phantom?
Yeah, the purple
thing.
Yeah.
One of the pieces was Phantom. I know this very vividly. And the purple went outside the line for a bit. So I, in all my wisdom, decided to cover up that purple line. I took a black crayon and traced the outline around it and made the outline of the Phantom thicker.
Okay.
Right? So I did that. And then I thought it covered. So technically, all the purple was inside the black line right now. But people around me were like, dude, that doesn't look like what it should be. Look at all of ours are the same. And I got so scared that I didn't conform to it. I didn't submit it until 2 months later, where I've been doing all the work diligently, which is rare for me. But the teachers, like one guy thought it really wanted to like bully me and like as a prank, grabbed my book, ran and took it up to the teacher to like see that I get beaten up for it. Except she's like, she stares at me. And she's like, why haven't you been submitting this? I said, ma'am, I did it wrong.
Yeah.
And then in front of me, she put a tick, put an A for every single thing and said, all these are very good.
Oh, nice.
So it backfired on that guy.
Nice.
So that was the first time in my life I was like, okay, maybe art doesn't have rules that much. Because like, you know, the other thing what happened is like I was so stressed with the crayon. I was pressing it really hard. So it became a darker purple.
Yeah.
So then I would use my nails to scrape out some of the first layer.
Oh, man.
What that magically did is added a nice texture of purple onto the drawing. So like mine actually looked cooler.
Artistic.
Yeah. So I think that was the first time I realized that like art is the one place you should never have rules. You should do what you think is interesting. And if it catches your eye, it's cool.
It is true. But I did architecture. And one of the reasons for doing architecture was first, that exam was not the exam you guys all of you wrote.
That CET?
Yeah. So I didn't have to write that. I had to write another exam. Much easier. That's one of the reasons. Other one was, I just thought it's just drawing and going about college. So it's like, let me get into it. Seems like I'm good in art and stuff. But it bit me in the ass. I was not good at all. I suck so bad. It was a drag. And when I started seeing other people, the way they used to, you know, put out their work, especially in architecture, and it motivated me a lot more to start working, you know. But of course, I did get better at art after my architecture, way, way later.
No, because I mean, you can't count architecture as art, right? It is a technical expertise which involves drawing.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, end of the day, you have to be technical. You have to follow rules because someone has to live in that building or stay in a building afterwards. Like you can do whatever you want in a painting because I don't have to live inside the painting.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about me was, even though I liked art and stuff, and I chose architecture first. And architecture, I didn't do so well. But after that, I did civil engineering. And there's no art at all in it.
Yeah.
I did really well in civil engineering, right? You were there throughout that journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw how that went through. And it's changed this entire perspective. But through that journey, because of you, I got into philosophy. And I did philosophy in the US, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, just take any of the classes, take one set of online. It's easy credit. Just go for it. And that changed. And that brought this new life into my art.
Yeah.
And that's what you see it as today.
Yeah.
But it was art was never like a journey to school or college and things.
Mm.
It just worked out in my way.
So I you said something very interesting, and I'm deviating from art a little bit.
Please do.
And this goes back to school as well. I learned this on my side as well, is that do you like things back in school? Did you like things because you were good at it, or did you like things because you enjoyed it? Like, I'll give you an example for myself, right? I liked math.
Okay.
I thought I liked math because I was good at it.
Okay.
I don't think I have a passion for like proving things or like adding things and subtracting things. It's just that that was a nice shot of confidence I would get, right?
Oh, yeah.
I liked computer science. I thought I liked computer science because I was good at it.
Okay.
Right? I went to college, everybody was good at computer science. So then I didn't like it anymore.
Okay.
Right. So I think so. But then I realized, it took me some time to realize I like music, but I wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. So like, do you feel like, have you in your life, have you seen a difference where have you, I mean, let's start with, have you liked something and then later on realized that you only like it because you're good at it? You're not actually passionate about that thing.
I never found anything I'm good at in school life.
Hmm.
That's what I realized later on.
Hmm. In life.
There was nothing where I had a sense of, oh, I'm good at this.
Hmm.
Absolutely nothing. Hmm. When it comes to studies or, you know, sports or art or anything, there's nothing that captured me.
Mm.
But what I really liked was trying out new things.
Mm.
So even if I sucked at it, I would keep trying at it and keep going at it. That's what I would enjoy. I would enjoy being involved in, you know, like music. You know, my drums. My drums history.
Yeah.
So I was not good at drums at all.
Mm.
But I just enjoyed it, right? And that's evolved so much into what it is now.
Yeah, yeah. What are the examples of things which you just tried in school?
Oh, art was one of the things, right? That's
art is there.
Right. Writing.
Writing.
Yeah. I used to write. And it used to be those exams. In the exams, the essays.
Essays, yeah, yeah.
I used to do well in those. And later on, Naeem came into, right? She was our 11th and 12th teacher.
Yes.
She took it to a next level for me.
Mm.
She enjoyed my writing, and she would try to put it out there in newspapers or, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah?
She's the one who put out one of my essays to the book we used to get.
The magazine.
The magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, that was a booster. But I never thought I'm good at it, or, you know, it was like a personal thing between.
So at this point, I think it's a great moment to also let the audience know that your passion for writing has even led to you writing and publishing a book called Under the Tree.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break and hear an ad about that, and we'll be right back.
Are you ever intrigued by life's mysteries? Do you spend time contemplating existence, purpose, and emotion? Then author Aditya Hegde's book Under the Tree is a must-have for your library. Venturing far and wide, imbibing learnings from many philosophers and ancient sculptures from across the planet, this captivating book takes you on a quest through dialogue between a serene monk nestled under the shelter of a majestic tree and the diverse beings who cross his path. Under the Tree by Aditya Hegde can soon be ordered on Amazon and Flipkart, and the ebook can be available on Kindle and Kobo. And now, back to your podcast.
Welcome back. We're talking with Hegde over here, and we were talking about his book, Under the Tree. I think we will go into, have another episode at some point to go deep into the book you have written, but...
Unless you make me write another book.
Yeah. No, you're going to write many more books. That's just the first of many. But I would say it is super cool that you were writing in school, and, you know, one couple of positive nudges from some teachers, like, have, you know, made you publish a book. So probably you should order one book and send it to her saying, man, thanks to you.
That's true. I should.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because I'm also...
I'm still not that confident about a book. So...
No, but you wrote a book, right? I mean, like, writing a book is not easy. But it's like... I used to write a lot, but... Yeah. But
I still write a lot.
I still write a lot, but yeah. Having the discipline and the structure to write a book is a lot more different, right? And we'll come into that, like, again, because that is a more recent time. I want to go back into your younger days.
For sure.
What are the other things you tried? So you said you tried art, you tried writing.
Drums.
What else?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to play basketball a lot.
What got you into basketball?
I just like basketball. I just like the sport. Yeah. There's not much. But I guess if I think about it, when I joined school, first, I had a cousin much older to us.
Mm-hmm.
He was the purpose captain then.
Okay.
He used to hang out with me a lot more and used to take me everywhere along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his friends were like Abhijit Punja, who were the school's sports captain and things like that.
And
they happened to be even my neighbors back then. We used to live in Koramanga.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is one of my customers.
Yeah.
And just playing along with them, I started picking up and loving the sport, I guess.
Abhijit Punja, right, I think was the first person in my life who I saw was taller than 6 feet. We were all kids, right? So they would also announce it in the assembly that he is 6+.
Okay.
Like whenever the basketball team won, right? It used to be him, there used to be Abhijit Shetty. They were all in the basketball team. And like, they're all well built. They looked like grown men when we were kids, right? But then he was actually 6+ back then. And I remember when he used to walk around, there'd be little kids who'd come and say, he'd be like, hello, sir, how tall are you? How tall are you? And all that. And he'd be nice enough to like say his height. And then, so like, he was like, probably, I never thought about this in that way. He was probably the first student celebrity we had.
Yeah, he was. Right? That's so true.
Yeah.
But I don't think he realizes that. He doesn't seem to know that aspect of him.
Once this comes out, you can share it with him.
Yeah.
That we all fanboyed him.
Yeah.
Because like, I never made it to 6 feet. I think I'm 5'10". If I wear the right shoe, maybe 5'11".
Yeah.
Right? But a good portion of my inspiration to grow as much was looking at him. And I was like, I need to be tall. That's just so cool. And then, I think I also played basketball looking at that. That might have been like the Cotton's dream team back in the day. Because like, I mean, in our batch, of course, we had like national player and all that. Like in Adil Anis, who played... Okay. Very high level of basketball, but that was, I think, going back, I also got to playing basketball. This was the second reason why I played basketball. The first reason is because of the movie Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
Okay.
Because there it's boy and girl playing and whatever. So what? I felt that. But that's true. So basketball, what is the most bizarre thing that's happened to you on the basketball court?
Most bizarre?
Yeah.
So basketball, me and a couple of my friends, we used to play after school. And what we used to do is not really play like a one-on-one or anything like that. You'd see where we can shoot the ball from. And we would go all over the campus and try to shoot the ball from there.
Outside the court?
Yeah, outside the court, on the stairs, you know, on the pavilion, and behind the basket and things like that. Pick random places to shoot from. And I don't know if you know this guy called Nikhil BK was in class.
Yeah.
He was also a tall guy. And a basketball player.
Yeah.
He got really good at it.
Yeah.
And now it became like a competition thing. So both of us would just, you know, hack it out every time. And later on, Amog started joining. Amog was one of the guitarists from the band that I played the drums at.
The Metallic Pythons.
Yeah,
if you all want to hear more about that story, I would recommend listening to my first episode with Sham. There is a good backstory there. We'll touch upon things we missed out over there here. But so you guys, so like, but anyway, like all of you here playing basketball, but you had your, you guys were your own basketball gang, because I played basketball a lot in 7th standard.
You used to play with us later on in 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th, yeah. Yes. But in 7th, I actually played. So I think now this is where I'm trying to get a little controversial. You guys were the Kannada basketball gang. There was a Hindi basketball gang as well.
It was just Nikhil, BK and me. We were not in any.
No, Amog, you just said.
Amog was playing with other people. I don't know. Maybe. Hmm. Amog, I think he started playing for the school, right?
No, Nikhil, BK played for school.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So, what I'm trying to say is like, so I feel like.
That was another completely different Kannada basketball gang. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so there was a mainstream Kannada basketball playing group. There was a hipster basketball, Kannada basketball playing group. There was a Hindi basketball playing group. By the way, when I say Hindi, Kannada, it's not about the language we spoke while playing basketball. It was this our second language.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So like the Hindi boys spoke in English. It's like, no one's like, either pass karo. It is like, pass bro, shoot bro, whatever. Right?
I just know that all the Kannada guys were into rap. And so, others were not.
let's give me an insight now, because like this is something I've never asked you, but I want to know how different was school for the Kannada boys versus the Hindi boys. So like
I wouldn't know.
So let me we'll do an example. Let's take an example, right? So did you have any friends? Because I think, did you have any friends whose second language was not Kannada in your group? No, right?
No, I don't. Oh.
And we didn't have anyone who spoke whose second language was Kannada. Like, that was just a natural divide.
Oh, damn.
I didn't think of it like now, right? So
yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
So you guys played together, ate together, did everything together.
Damn, I was in the Kannada gang.
Yeah, you were in the
Kannada gang. Because there was another class.
Yeah.
You know, with all the... I guess you're right. We were the divide and conquer back then.
So did the Kannada guys, like you guys, like speak in Kannada in class to each other?
No.
All in English?
We were in English, yeah.
So the, okay.
We didn't, yeah.
Because I've been in one of those mixed classes a couple of times, but like I feel like sometimes... So for the audience again, right? I think there would be half the classes would be like... Majority.
Oh, Sham was not.
Sham was not, exactly. Yeah. So that's an exception, right? Yeah, of
course. No, I'm pretty sure there are many people. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone Aditya RC was.
Yeah. Few, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but what I'm saying is like in our school, the first few sections were all Hindi.
Oh, I was always in the late section.
Yes, because the way it is.
BF or something.
So usually the middle section is one, there's one full Kannada section.
Mm.
And then the remaining three or four, I mean, it has to be even number, would be half Hindi, half Kannada.
Okay.
And how did it work? When you had that subject, both the classes would have it at the same time. And they did one basic India-Pakistan migration. They said, it's like you go here for this class and you come there for that class.
Yeah.
And then you would do that. So when I was in one of those classes, I felt like the Kannada boys, just to like me, like have their own clique, away from the Hindi boys, they would speak in Kannada if they want to bitch about us.
Okay. No clue about which class that was.
I know which one. But I knew Kannada because that's my mother tongue.
Yeah, you're not an Hindi Kannada boy.
Yeah, but I was in a Hindi class, but I would hear it.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, they didn't realize that they were doing this. And then like they backed off after a bit. But...
Okay.
Then what else do you remember? That's... Take go by sections now. So let's go by this junior school. What is the memory of it? If you don't have to think too much, what is the first thing that comes to your mind, or something that happened in that time?
I was in some normal class in third standard, like all everyone else.
Mm.
But then the school made this new section.
Itch.
Yeah, and it was in the gym. It's just right next to the basketball court. And I was in that section. And that was a different... It happened all the time. Because you're in 6th standard.
Yeah.
We were in a section that was completely away from the entire school. It was behind the Pettigrew's library.
You were there?
Yeah. Above us was Mr. Tambidore's home. He used to stay there. He used to live there.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even know that existed. Because the gym I remember very well. Because yeah. In third, like, we were right next to it. And then we saw all of these guys move. And I was like, out of curiosity, one time I just wanted to go into the class to see how does it look and all that.
Amazing class, right? It was huge.
And then like they had to like get a board. The board was not stuck to the wall, right? It had to get a temporary board and stuff like that. But I think, again, as always, everyone is so territorial. I took a peek and they kicked me out. They said, get lost. Who are you? Why are you here? You're not in that class.
Really?
Yeah.
I might have been one of them, but...
Yeah, when I'm in your class, we have done that to other people. So.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those people would only come on their birthdays to our class. So we wish them
a very happy birthday.
Send them back. With our hands and legs. I had completely forgotten about the gymnasium classroom until like you mentioned it now.
Fifth standard bonds that role for me. Fifth and sixth was pretty good.
What do you remember the first time you ever got punished?
Oh, very hard. I've been getting punished for a long time. I've been getting punished before I moved into Cotton City.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying.
You've been in most of my punishments later.
Later on. Yeah. That, no, because I would have been in the punishments with you, but your class was far away. But what is, okay, what is the most bizarre punishment you've had?
Actually, one of the most torturous, but traumatic school events was in my fourth standard.
Mm.
The class teacher sucked so bad.
Mm.
And she would always punish me. And it was just such a, it was one of the worst times of my life.
Yeah.
And it got to me, to me. Yeah, because she had call my mom also and torture her and, shame her also and stuff like that. It was so brutal.
Yeah.
But when I got to fifth standard, it's like everything just changed. The teacher was much sweeter and she really helped me out in life too.
Yeah.
Even the friends I made then are still my friends till today. One of them being Abhin Shetty.
We actually had one teacher, like if he hits you and you start crying, he panics.
What was it?
I can't tell you who it is, but I'll give you all the information about it. He actually came from an international school to teach a subject. This is middle school.
Okay.
Right? Basically, if he hits you and you start crying, he basically will like call you and let me sit on his lap or like, no, don't cry. I didn't mean to do that.
No.
Like, don't cry. Stop crying. Then after you stop me, he's like, you won't tell your father, right? because I'll tell you why now. So I have friends who actually went to that international school for a few years.
Okay.
Before, that was co-ed, right? So this is actually my neighbor. She used to be in that school as well. And then somehow that name came up, the teacher. She's like, wait, I know that name. He used to be in that school. And I think he might have gotten fired from that school for hitting someone.
Oh.
And he came here.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. All but one senior teacher, which we had. This is now a trend in a theme in my podcast, the physics teacher. Yeah.
Who shall not be named.
Yeah, who should not be named. I think everybody but them, gender not revealed, were good. They were good and they didn't, you like them not because of partiality, you just like them because you like them.
Yeah, that's true.
You like them because they taught you well or they motivated you or they started respecting everybody equally.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So I think that got cleaned up a lot later. I feel like when you were in that big jungle of like 50, 60 people in a class, like I've told this in other episodes as well, if you're like the top 10% or the bottom 10%, you get the teacher's attention. And if you're in the bottom 10%, it's the most negative attention you can get. Right?
For sure.
And then even if you're like the least worst person over there, you get classified as the worst person in that thing. So I like to go to another topic at this point. Right? So we spoke teachers, we spoke about sports. I mean, basketball, I like the theme about you said you trying things. What was one thing you tried and you didn't like?
That's a good question. What did I try and I didn't like?
I'll give you an example for me. I tried that stamp collecting stuff.
You didn't like it?
Because it costed money.
Oh.
Because, you know, I'm...
No, but you like the stamp collecting.
No, but I didn't like it because, like, so I'll tell you what the problem was.
Yeah.
They used to sell books with stamps in it.
What?
You didn't collect stamps. They gave you a starter book. So, like, they'll give you that thing and you maintain your stamps. And then what a stamp collection is, everybody will get different books with different stamps.
Okay.
You'll check each other's and you'll trade it.
I was in the stamp collection club, by the way.
That's what. So, you tell me how it was.
Wait, was it stamp collection or coin collection?
Okay, so stamp collection was the one which was more popular. There was coin, if I can think of.
Was it on during 7th standard? When there was the adventure club and
No, you didn't that. You were in drums then.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Well, I was in drums with you.
Yeah, we were in the same.
The stamp collection, no? Think about it. Like, I never saw the value because all the stamps, there were only the one or two stamps which were being sold to, like, for letters back then, no?
Yeah.
But people would get these, it used to be called a head stamp, which is like, you know, like a British stamp or whatever, but like on the top left corner, there would be like one head, like the Queen's head or something like that.
Yeah.
But people, so you had to first buy, say, everybody just buy a book with like a pre-listed stamps. And then all you would do in the class is like learn about, they'll teach you about different stamps or whatever, but you would just swapped it. So it was like a stamp maintaining.
Like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it was,
cards.
Yeah, it was a class for Pokemon cards. That's what it is. So I tried that and I was like, this is not for me.
Okay.
But what is an example for you that you tried and you're like, no?
I tried swimming once.
Hmm.
Didn't go well at all and I never swam after that.
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
swimming, the teacher matters.
I guess so.
Because
I don't know.
I'll tell you, right?
I always had a fear of water.
Fear of water?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it didn't help my case. So I'm not really being the teacher on this one. This is all me.
No. So I'll tell you why. Because like the school swimming was chill. And I couldn't get. I never did it much. But when I was a kid, my mom put me into swimming classes in the Jainagar swimming pool.
Okay.
Like public pool or whatever. So logically, by the way, so this is like Olympic size. Okay, our school was one tiny pool. We could have just gone. Old pool. Now it's a nice pool, apparently. But so it's like, and the way these Olympic pools work is, one end is a shallow end, and then it will slope down all the way, and the other end is a deep end.
Okay.
Deep end is where you have the diving and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So first week is damn nice because shallow end, your feet touch the ground, and you're like walking in water and all that.
Yeah.
So logically, I thought today we are in shallow end. We will go little deeper every day, little.
Okay.
Makes sense, right? After 1 week, they took us to the deep end and said swim.
No. Did it work out, bud?
No, because like they throw you in and they say, well, we've taught you enough.
That's how fathers teach kids to.
No, but this is someone you paid for.
I don't know.
You paid them to do it and then they just say, go swim, learn it. And then I'm basically like with some difficulty, I'll reach the end of the thing and to climb back up and it's again.
Mm.
And I hated it. So I didn't learn to swim there. But when I moved to an apartment complex, which had a swimming pool, they had a kiddie pool and like an adult pool.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of kids my age in the adult pool swimming. And I used to like simply stand next to my brother in the kiddie pool doing nothing. So out of peer pressure, I said, no, I need to learn how to swim. To hang out with everybody over there.
Okay.
But that's how I learned swimming. But I hated the first way I did swimming.
I quit right after that.
Ah,
when you went ahead, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just the circumstances, right? Like for having a social life, I decided I had to do it.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, like even now I know how to swim, but like, I don't like swimming.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know how to swim.
Yeah. Have you been in the water?
Yeah.
That's enough. What more do you want?
Yeah, that's what more do
you want. But what else is something that you tried and you didn't like?
The thing is, I could never get good at any of the things I tried.
Mm.
So I landed up not liking most of the things.
Okay, so you're saying that you try it and then after a point you lose interest.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
But I've been doing all of those things now in my life.
Okay, so it came back.
Yeah, all interest came back.
Nice.
Or maybe it never went, and I just couldn't handle the not getting good part then.
All right, let's hold a thought on that. Handling things about not getting good, right?
Yeah.
The idea is, my question to you is going to be, why do you do things to be good at it, or do you do things to enjoy it? It's the reverse of what I asked later, but we will talk about this in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to part one of my conversation with Aditya Hegde. We will continue this conversation next week, and I hope you all tune in. Until then, thanks again and goodbye.